Today's podcast is brought to you by my new book, Mass Corruption, Volume 1, The Cops. Now in stock. Order now at HowieCarshow.com, click store, and get it delivered in time for Christmas.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at GraceCurleyShow.com.
She's a liar and a mean person. She's a nut job.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of The Grace Curley Show.
Grace. Grace Curley.
Grace!
Hello, 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 and welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. TGIF, my people. You did it. You did it. You made it to the end of the week. We got a really big news day ahead that's going to usher us into the weekend. And we have the communist, socialist.
I'm sitting right here, Grace. You don't have to talk about me like that.
The little commie, Taylor Cormier. No, we have Zohran Mamdani, mayor-elect of New York City, headed to the White House today. I saw him.
He's my little communist mayor.
He's already arrived in D.C., flocked by... Is that the word, flocked? No.
Flogged?
No.
Followed?
Followed, like when the paparazzi just...
Mobbed?
Mobbed. Thank you, Taylor. Mom brain. They hit him right away when he got to D.C. He's being followed by the cameras. And Donald Trump actually talked a little bit about this meeting with Brian Kilmeade, what he's expecting from this sit down. It's happening at 3 o'clock. Not great for us. You know, it works for Howie.
I was hyped up this morning.
Me too.
I was, ooh, yeah. We're going to get some Zemdati or moron, whatever his name is.
I don't know why I thought it was going to be an 11 a.m. kind of thing. Maybe because I figured, you know, you want to get it done with, head into the weekend. Yeah, I know that Trump never stops working, but even so.
These communists, you can't face them in the morning because they've had their food. By the end of the day, they're starving because there is no food and they don't have any energy. So that's when you got to take them on.
That's when they start asking you, hey, can I have some of yours? Hey, what are yes. you eating over there?
That's when they're nice.
So this is a 3 o'clock meeting and Trump was on with Brian Kilmeade, and we tried to game this out yesterday. Taylor and I were discussing what we think is going to happen, what's it going to be like, you know, is Trump going to get in there and have it be more of a Zelensky-style meeting? I don't think so. I think that it really depends on if you hit Trump. Like, if you come in there and you're nice and you play nice, he'll play nice. He's still going to give you, oh, you know what we haven't even talked about? And I got this whole opening here. That's what I always do. I write up this whole opening and never stick to the script because then something hits me. The handshake. You know Trump Ooh. Loves a strong handshake. He might knock Mamdani over.
Mamdani's a little guy too, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Depending on if Mamdani, I think the key with Trump, and we've seen people try to do this, is you can't, you have to be loose when he goes in for the handshake, Taylor. You can't have your legs planted too hard on the ground or else you'll kind of get rocked. You have to be ready, but you also, you want to give it a little resistance. So I hope Mamdani's practiced. There's a lot of things here that he's got to be prepared for. And so he's going into this meeting with Donald Trump. And even since this meeting was announced, we've seen a real reversal from Zohran. I remember, I'm old enough to remember when Zohran Mamdani, this is socialist man, they'll change right before your eyes. You know, they're not very consistent. It's hard to be a consistent socialist.
Reverse, reverse.
Cha-cha, real smooth. Zohran went from saying that he was going to be, when he was running for mayor, he was going to be Donald Trump's worst nightmare. Going to be his worst nightmare, which is really the goal of all these Democrats.
My administration would be Donald Trump's worst nightmare.
So many of these people, they focus so much on being Trump's worst nightmare, and then their lives become a nightmare because there's nothing else going on. That's all they're
I'm your nightmare.
It's TDS. They're just consumed. They're consumed with it. And so he was going to be Donald Trump's worst nightmare. And then he won, and he told us, or he told Trump, turn up the volume, and he talked about how what it sounded like to me was he was going to really be focused on destroying the American dream. And anyone who wants to make money or be a capitalist, that's who he's going after. And so I had Taylor do a little work. There's some compilations of this on social media that we pulled from. But Taylor, I want to play the one that you constructed for me. And you did this one yourself. This is just to show you the 180 that we're seeing, just to show you the change in Zohran. Something has changed within me. That's a little Wicked tease for you guys. That's coming out this week. Zohran Mamdani, something has changed within him. He's had a complete reversal on Donald Trump. Let's have this mashup, cut 8.
Turn the volume up. We will hold bad landlords to account because the Donald Trumps of our city have grown far too comfortable taking advantage of their tenants. We will put an end to the culture of corruption that has allowed billionaires like Trump to evade taxation and exploit tax breaks.
When I asked those New Yorkers who they voted for and why, I met many who voted for President Trump, and they told me it was the affordability crisis. It was cost of living, cost of living, cost of living. And they said that they remembered being able to afford their rent, their child care, their Con Ed, their public transit more 4 years ago than they could in that moment. And we ran a campaign focused on the same thing, cost of living. And what we found, actually, is that 1 in 10 New Yorkers who voted for Trump ended up voting for our campaign. And they did so because they're looking for leaders to actually deliver on the cost of living crisis.
Yeah, so seems like he's trying to be a little bit sweeter. I love, though, that first part, and I wasn't here right after he won, so I wasn't able to dissect his victory speech, but I love how they go after these rich people from New York for not paying their fair share of taxes. Like, oh yeah, you're too comfortable, you're not paying enough. If you look at the data, you can just AI, you can chat GPT it. The amount of money that's coming in from the top 1% in New York City is, compared to the rest, astronomical. And this might make Zohran happy. It's going to be a lot less because they're going to start leaving. But they're paying a pretty good chunk. I don't know how much you want them to pay, but they're paying a lot in taxes. And when he says he's been too comfortable ripping off his tenants and, you know, he's so angry at Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the American dream. Now, guaranteed, he had got a head start, Taylor. He had a very successful father. He came from a successful family. But you know what no one ever talks about is there have been plenty of people who have had a leg up and have inherited money and have run that family business into the ground. There's a lot of people who would have taken what Donald Trump had, and you know what they wouldn't have created with it? The New York City skyline. So I don't think it's all nepo. I think some of it might have to do with the fact that this is a guy who has ambition and motivation and, you know, created a lot for himself and created a lot of businesses and employed a lot of people. And that's what Mamdani says he's had enough of. That's what Mamdani is hell-bent on making sure does not happen, that no one is able to get anywhere or move up based on merit, based on success, based on creativity. That's what he wants to end. So that was Zohran Mamdani. We also have another reversal here. Let's have a cut... I want to have cut 6, please. Oh, no, I'm sorry, cut 7. This is just now he's reversing on President Trump.
I have many disagreements with the president, and I believe that we should be relentless and pursue all avenues and all meetings that could make our city affordable for every single New Yorker. I intend to make it clear to President Trump that I will work with him on any agenda that benefits New Yorkers.
You better hope that he's not still mad that you were talking so poorly about him in the past and
he's
you want to destroy him.
He isn't for such a rude awakening when Trump says, just throw out your whole policy and we'll be fine, right? Just lay in the bed, Zohran.
But now we know more about the policy, Taylor, because he was explaining. I was a little skeptical about this whole free bus thing, but after hearing him explain
he's got it all worked out.
It really does make sense to me. Can I get cut 9?
You know, I think that the two clearest ways to raise that money is through the raising of the state's corporate tax to match that of New Jersey. I think that a lot of this is still a case to be made, whether it's the corporate tax or that's the personal income tax on those who make more than $1 million a year or more. I think that these are the clearest ways. I've also said that if there are other ways to raise this funding, the most important fact is that we fund it, not the question of how we do it, but that we do it.
But the question of how you do it is kind of important, right? This is reminding me, Taylor, and I don't remember the exact question, but when Kamala Harris was being interviewed, it was right before the election, She was asked about how she would pay for something. It was one of her great ideas. I can't remember which one it was. And she had a very similar response where they were like, well, what if you can't get Republicans on board? And she's like, well, they just have to be. They just have to be. It's just going to have to work. That's not an answer.
I am once again asking for your financial support.
He's not concerned about how they're going to fund the free buses. They're just going to be free buses. This is magic. This is ponies and fairies and magic unicorn dust. This is going to happen, according to Zohran Mamdani. Now, this is what Trump had to say about the meeting. This is Cut 10. This was on with Brian Kilmeade.
It means by turn the volume up, because turn the volume up, he has to be careful when he says that to me. But nobody really was able. I said, what does that mean, turn the volume up? Does that mean let's go at it?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, he was very nice in calling, as you know, and we're going to have a meeting. I guess we meet at 3 o'clock today, and I think it's going to be quite civil.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be talking about turning the volume up when he's with him. Donald Trump.
Does that have, a meaning that I'm not aware of? Did he have to ask Barron? Barron, what does that mean, turn the volume up?
Yeah, sometimes, I don't know.
The kids have all these sayings now.
Oh, I don't know, dude, you're telling me. I told you about that guy from high school who said to me, a guy tweeted at me from my high school and said, have you considered the idea that you're washed and chopped? And I didn't know what it meant. And it means like
it's
old.
It's a hair thing, right?
No, it means like old and ugly. And I guess I am getting old. The fact that I had to Google it to figure out what he meant by it. But I was like, hey, aren't you from my high school? Weren't we friends at one point? But yeah, sometimes they use this kind of new age language. I think turn the volume up is just his way of saying, like, bring it on. And there's a lot of people who you have to say, hey, speak up. You know, hey, we can't hear you back here. Donald Trump's not one of them.
Oh, yeah, save for the people in the back.
I don't think Donald Trump has ever had anyone say to him, like, hey, it was a really great speech. We just couldn't hear you that well in the back. You were just, you were a little bit too quiet. That's not really a problem he tends to have. Now, the timing of this meeting is perfect because today on the House floor, Maria Salazar, she's a representative from Florida, she brought a resolution to condemn socialism. And this is putting Democrats in a really hard spot because they want to... Socialism seems to be the only thing that is connecting them with young people and the Gen Zs and the awfuls out there, these women who are angry, usually white women, angry, liberal, single. And socialism is, besides Trump derangement syndrome, is like the only real connection they have to these political figures. So someone like Hakeem Jeffries, he understands the value in having this socialist agenda. He also understands that nationally it's going to be a disaster because you hear socialism, and I don't care how woke people get, there's still plenty of people in this country who hear socialism and understand the dangers of it and that millions of people have died because of it, and it's been tried plenty of times and it has been unsuccessful. So it puts them... When you hear about these resolutions and you go, oh, condemning socialism, why? What's the point of this? It kind of seems like, what's the function of that? It actually does serve a function because what it does is it requires Hakeem Jeffries and all these Democrats who all they're doing at this point, Taylor, is tiptoeing around this issue and trying to have their cake and eat it too. Like, oh, we want the energy that comes with Zohran Mamdani and we want the win that comes with him, but we don't want to be connected to this political ideology that has spelled out destruction and death for hundreds of years. We don't want that. And it's like, well, no, you have to choose. And so that's what Maria Salazar did by putting this to the House floor, and it passed. And Hakeem Jeffries voted to condemn socialism, as did 86 Democrats. 85 plus Hakeem Jeffries. That means 98 did not, though. And this was Hakeem Jeffries when he was asked about it. This is cut 11, please, Taylor.
Do you condemn socialism in the United States?
I plan on voting in a manner consistent with how I've voted in the past. Listen, I believe as Democrats that we believe in a country where you have a strong floor and no ceiling. Here's what that strong floor consists of. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the GI Bill, nutritional benefits, and the Affordable Care Act. By the way, all things brought to you by your friendly neighborhood Democratic Party.
Yeah. All things riddled with fraud as well, brought to you by your friendly neighborhood Democratic
Party.
All
well, pretty socialist programs, too.
They're all over the map. And I think that Mamdani, even having to cozy up to Trump now, which is seems to me like what he's doing, we'll see what happens at 3 o'clock, is even more of a sign that this is going to lead to a civil war, not physically, I don't mean an actual, but a political civil war within the Democrat Party. So get your popcorn out. We'll be right back. We got a lot more to discuss. I want to go back to this video yesterday from the 6 Democrat lawmakers urging members of our military to defy orders from the president and disrupt the chain of command. We'll talk about that when we return.
I call him my little communist.
The Grace Curley Show will return. This is the Grace Curley Show.
One of the texters said, "You've been here a week. It's already TGIF." Yeah, I was also already talking about how we have Thanksgiving off. I love it here so much. I love what I do. But I think everyone loves a little vacation. Everyone loves the holidays. Everyone loves a Friday. It doesn't matter if you love what you do or not. It's still Friday, baby. We still got those Friday vibes. And here's some good news for you heading into the weekend. Actually, I don't know. I don't know how you guys will take this. Eric Swalwell has decided he's going to run for governor of California. And I don't really care because I remember when he ran for president, it was like, whoo boy, it was not good. I'm not worried that he's going to become governor of California.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Yeah, that was throwback to his farting days. I don't really care about, I hate to say it like this, California's a beautiful state and I wish there was hope there, but they're going to have a horrible governor no matter what happens. It does give me an excuse though to talk about Katie Porter, because that was one of the stories. Taylor, there were probably like 10 stories that could come to my head that while I was on maternity leave, I thought to myself, ooh, I'm jealous. I'm jealous Taylor gets to talk about that. Katie Porter being so rude and mean and nasty and really validating all of the things that her husband said, or her ex-husband, when they were getting divorced, about, you know, throwing the potatoes on his head or whatever. That was one of the stories where I was sitting at home thinking, ooh, I'm itching to get back in that chair, because she is a monster.
She is a nasty woman.
Nasty woman.
Can you imagine being married to that?
She makes Elizabeth Warren seem like a joy to be around.
Any of them. Any AOC, any of these screeching harlots.
People, harlots, I didn't think you'd go there. It's not the word I would have used, but I don't hate it. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things too where when people yell, like women, men, whatever, and you hear about this, oh, this, because there's always stories, Amy Klobuchar, there's stories, Maxine Waters, there's stories about how certain politicians are really mean and they yell at their staffers. Lori Lightfoot, former mayor of Chicago, Katie Porter being one of them. When I hear about that, Taylor, I'm like, there is no world in which if someone was yelling at me, like raising their voice, that I wouldn't walk. And I'm not saying it in a tough guy way. I'm saying it is so crazy to me that adults in business or in politics or whatever yell at other adults. I would just, why are you yelling? It would be Vince Vaughn for me. I'd say, why are you yelling at me? I didn't grow up in a yelling household. Maybe these people did. But to think that you can storm off and act that way and it's not going to catch up to you. And the part that really made me LOL was when she was asked, can you confirm that no more of these videos are going to come out? And she was like, well, here's the thing. And I thought, that's a yes. Anything besides, yeah, that's it. It's like, how many videos are there of you being a terror behind the scenes? Apparently, plenty of them. So it's going to be Swalwell, Katie Porter, California. My heart goes out to you. You guys are in for it, really, no matter what. When we come back, we'll do the poll question. And we're going to talk Jason Crow on the other side.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by Tux Trucks GMC. Shop now at Tux Trucks GMC in Hudson, Mass. For a large selection of GMC Sierra 3500 HD work trucks. Body options include dump bodies and service bodies. Tux Trucks GMC is your commercial truck headquarters. TuxTrucksGMC.com. Taylor Cormier's on the board. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurlyShow.com, is which cabinet member have you been most impressed by? Scott Bessent, Pam Bondi, Sean Duffy, Pete Hegseth, RFK Jr., Kristi Noem, or Marco Rubio, or other?
Oh, Marco Rubio has been phenomenal. Kristi Noem's been solid. I'm going to go with J.D. Vance, though.
J.D. Vance?
Was he on there?
No.
Oh, he wasn't even on there? Is he technically?
No, he's not technically a cabinet
member. He's not technically
a cabinet?
Okay, run them through me again.
Bessent, Bondi.
Oh, Bessent's so good.
Duffy, Hegseth, RFK. Kristi Noem, Marco Rubio, or other?
Okay, I'm going to go Marco Rubio.
45%.
Oh, really?
Say Marco
is that the number
Rubio.
One?
Yes, it is the number one.
Okay.
Number two, way behind, 17%, Scott Bessent, 14% for Pete Hegseth, 12% for Kristi Noem, and Pam Bondi, Sean Duffy, and RFK Jr., all under 5%.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's too thrilled with Pam Bondi, only because of the Epstein stuff. It's been kind of a disaster. Hey, you know who's not a cabinet position either, who I really have been impressed by, and I say this almost every day, Caroline Leavitt. I watched her press conference yesterday. She's so good. Like, she doesn't even look down. Forget having a binder. Remember KJP? I just sometimes think we all need to take stock of where we are versus where we've been. Okay, as Kamala Harris would say, it's the passage of time. You need to think about... I haven't done my Kamala in a long time. Hold on.
Please. Oh, God. Oh, we all got such a wonderful three-month reprieve from this.
Sometimes you... it's going to be rusty. Sometimes you have to... you have to think about where you've been and where you are. And right now, where we are with the press secretary is really something else. I was watching yesterday, and Caroline was talking about, there was a few different hot topics, the main one being this video that was put out by these six Democrat lawmakers, and I'm ticked off about this. So they put out this video. We talked about it yesterday, Taylor, pretty much at length. We talked about how they put out this video. They've all served, which we thank them for their service, and I mean that sincerely, but they put out this video urging members of the military to defy any unlawful orders from President Trump or from Pete Hegseth or, you know, the chain of command, to disrupt the chain of command and defy orders in order to save democracy, or whatever BS, you know, tagline they're using in the moment. And I watched this video and I was stunned by it. And it wasn't really getting a lot of attention from Democrats. It was getting some attention on Fox. It was getting some attention here at the Grace Curley Show. But it wasn't getting a lot of attention until Donald Trump went on Truth Social and pointed out that the punishment for treason can be death. And then all of a sudden, everybody was concerned about it. Not because of the actual video of six Democrats telling members of our military to defy Donald Trump or Pete Hegseth, but because Donald Trump pointed out the truth, which is treason is punishable in some cases, in the most extreme cases, by death. That is what everyone started to care about. And when I saw that, and I saw the press conference going on with Caroline, I thought, I wonder if this was a case. Because people love to say it's four-dimensional chess. Like, the reason Trump did this or the reason Trump did that is because he knew that this was going to... And sometimes I get tired of it. I'm like, okay, I think we're all overdoing it. But in this case, Taylor, I did think to myself, Trump put that out there because if you're going to talk about the fact that he tweeted or he truth socialed that the punishment of treason is death, you have to talk about what prompted said truth social. And I want to play Caroline discussing this with a member of the press yesterday. Can I have cut one, please?
You have sitting members of the United States Congress who conspired together to orchestrate a video message to members of the United States military, to active duty service members, to members of the national security apparatus, encouraging them to defy the president's lawful orders. The sanctity of our military rests on the chain of command. And if that chain of command is broken, it can lead to people getting killed. It can lead to chaos. And that's what these members of Congress who swore an oath to abide by the Constitution are essentially encouraging. We have 1.3 active duty service members in this country. And if they hear this radical message from sitting members of Congress, that could inspire chaos and it could incite violence and it certainly could disrupt the chain of command.
Yeah. And the reporter comes back with, well, they only said unlawful orders. And this is the biggest crock of you know what. They only said unlawful orders. Well, then tell us what the unlawful orders are. If you're urging people to defy unlawful orders, which, yes, technically speaking, in the military, you are allowed to defy unlawful orders, then can you cite what they are? Can we get a little specific? Can you give us any example? Because to me, when I hear unlawful orders, and I don't have any idea what you're referring to, it almost reads like you just mean that you disagree with Donald Trump and therefore they should defy what he's doing or they should obstruct his decisions. And Jason Crow, one of the geniuses behind this viral video, went on with Martha McCallum. And I really like Martha McCallum. I actually think she's a lot tougher than most of the people on Fox. And she does these kind of contentious interviews quite a bit. She did it a lot during the Biden administration. She'd have on his economic people, and she would go back and forth. So she brings on Jason Crow to help clarify what the hell they meant. Because you can't have it both ways. It's like, we want them to defy any unlawful orders. What unlawful orders? Well, you know, if any of them come. So we're doing this before anything unlawful happens. You're just reminding them that if anything unlawful happens, it's so disingenuous, it's so dishonest, and it's so dangerous. It truly is. Like, as Caroline said, the military runs on this idea that the chain of command is the end-all be-all. You listen, you take orders, you do what you're supposed to do. And to try to disrupt that for your politics, to try to disrupt that to get points with the anti-Trump crusaders, especially coming from, it makes it worse, Taylor, that all of these people served. It actually makes it worse. Yesterday when I was talking about it, I thought, well, they definitely put together this video because they think because they served, no one can criticize them. That everyone's going to go, well, they serve, so they have a right to say it. Like, they serve, so they really know what they're talking about. It actually is more offensive considering they served.
Well, they know the processes that are in place to protect from things like that. And if you go through and you don't carry out what you deem an unlawful order, and later the court realizes, the military court rules that it was a lawful order, then you're punished in whatever manner is fit. That's the process playing out. That's in place. And they know that exists. So for them to encourage people to do that, it's very strange.
It's very strange. It's a very calculated move.
To weaken our military.
Why would they want to do that?
I don't know.
Yeah, let's play Caroline again. She kind of goes along the same theme of they know exactly what they're doing here. This is cut two.
These three members of Congress, I will also add, knew exactly what they were doing. You look at Alyssa Slotkin. She's a former member of the CIA. Mark Kelly was a captain in the U.S. Navy. Maggie Goodlander was a naval officer. And notably, she is also the wife of Joe Biden's national security former advisor, Jake Sullivan. And so these members knew what they were doing. They were leading into their credentials as former members of our military, as veterans, as former members of the national security apparatus to signal to people serving under this commander-in-chief, Donald Trump, that you can defy him and you can betray your oath of office. That is a very, very dangerous message. And it perhaps is punishable by law. I'm not a lawyer. I'll leave that to the Department of Justice and the Department of War to decide.
And she mentioned Jake Sullivan, which I think is especially ironic that Maggie Goodlander decides to chime in here, because her hubby, Jake Sullivan, actually offered to resign. I don't know if people remember this. Might feel like it was a long time ago. He offered to resign over the horrible, chaotic, deadly Afghanistan withdrawal. And I don't remember anyone making videos. I don't remember any Republican congressmen or women who served making videos suggesting that Biden's military or the military of the United States defy President Joe Biden because of Jake Sullivan, her husband's terrible decision making and inability to conduct a successful mission. And now we have a president who loves our military. He's not checking his watch, by the way, when people, when there's serious ceremonies going on. He's not making bad decisions that lead to the death of 170 Afghans and or 13 U.S. service members. And so now that we have a successful president who knows what he's doing and respects the military and allows them to be strong and to carry out incredible missions like Midnight Hammer, the Midnight Hammer operation in Iran, now it's time to defy the president. Now that America is succeeding. And it goes back to, it might feel like it's repetitive, but it all goes back to the fact that they hate Donald Trump. So it used to be, Taylor, like you'd say, they hate Donald Trump more than they love the country. And you'd be like, whew, that's a bold statement. They hate him so much more than they love the country. I was thinking about it today. I'm like, these people must wake up every day and hope the economy is doing terrible. Like, hope the border is being overrun. They must wake up really hoping that everything, because when you really drill down, most of the things, 90, we can disagree on some of the stuff, but most of the things that Trump is promoting is having America be number one. He always says, we're the hottest country, we're the hottest country. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be prosperous. And so in order to successfully hate him as much as they do, they have to be rooting against us. And this is just another example. It's another example of, you hate this guy so much that you're going to ignore all of the success he's had with our military. The recruitment numbers are through the flipping roof, and they don't care. They don't care. They still want to say to these men and women who, yeah, they don't have enough on their plates trying to protect us. No. Now, can you subvert what Donald Trump is asking you to do if it's unlawful? We're going to play this Jason Crow cut when we come back, because this is unbelievable. Martha McCallum, is all she's asking for is give me an example. And examples really are, it's like kryptonite to these Democrats. They love to talk. They love to talk, 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 talk. And then you say, let's get specific. Give me an example. Clam up. Nothing to say. And if you're instructing members of the military to defy the president, you best come with some examples. Vagueness is not something we're going to accept when you're making that strong of a statement. If you want to make a strong statement, that's fine, but say it with your chest. Tell us what you really think. But this is what they do. They couch it in all this language of like, well, I wasn't saying defy the president. I was saying defy lawful orders. It is insane. When we come back, we'll take your calls. 844-500-4242. I love entertaining during the holiday season, Taylor. You know this.
Yeah.
I love hosting.
Yeah.
I love making everything from scratch.
From scratch, yes.
Yeah. Homemade. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm known for. They go, we're going to Grace's house. Everything's going to be homemade.
Yeah. On the nose.
Actually, on a serious note, the only thing that is I ever get credit for, there where people go, oh, this is really good, is if I have my Omaha steaks ready to go. Because that doesn't require much from me.
That's the backup plan when it should be the primary.
It's not heavy lifting, Taylor. It's like you just open the box. You've got delicious steaks. They're just grass-fed, quality steaks. You've got chicken. You've got seafood. Sometimes I even cheat on the desserts. I tell people, I'm going to bring a pie, and then I just bring an Omaha dessert.
I made all of these individual apple tartlets.
Yeah.
Look how cute they are.
It's cheat code. Cheat code, baby. But Omaha Steaks really is the best. And if you're looking to make your life easier, or if you're looking to just send a great gift, their Sizzle All The Way sale is everything's 50% off, which is already unbelievable. I mean, this is a ton of savings. But then when you enter code GRACE at checkout, you're going to get an extra $35 off when you go to omahasteaks.com. There is so much to love with Omaha Steaks. I love the burgers. Jared loves the hot dogs. Matt loves the chicken. Taylor, you're a fan of the burgers, but you're also a big steak guy. You just
I love
like anything.
Steak. Yeah.
You're like Gracie the cat. Anything that's going to get you outside.
Get me outside. Well, this week I put the steaks on the grill, stood outside. It was like 35 degrees, had a glass of whiskey while I was grilling. It's fantastic. There's nothing like it. All that was missing was a cigar. But Omaha Steaks doesn't ship cigars, so maybe I can convince them to.
Your wife's like, what's going on out there? You've been at the grill for 4 hours.
That's my therapy. That's it.
Did the chickens look over and say, oh no, sometimes he's cooking our brethren?
Sometimes when I'm cooking chicken, I give them a warning.
Yeah, they're like, something smells really weird.
Better watch it.
It's making me feel sick.
You know they eat chicken?
Chickens eat chicken?
Chickens eat chicken.
Ooh, that is twisted, man. Yeah, Omaha Steaks really is the best. You cannot go wrong. Pork, seafood, steak. I'm a steak fanatic. I love a good steak. I think it's great on a special occasion, but you can have a special occasion whenever you want. Thursday night, baby, it's a special occasion. Whip up a steak. You can't go wrong. So omahasteaks.com, this is great for the holidays. Great gift, omahasteaks.com. Don't forget to use code GRACE to get the extra $35 off on top of the 50% off. And then tell us how you whip it up. Because a lot of people, they'll enter code GRACE, they'll get the discount, they'll get the gift, they'll get the box, and then they text in and say, this is how I made my steak, and I really like hearing that. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Chickens.
Follow Grace on X at @G_Curly. This is the Grace Curly Show.
Doctor's orders on this Friday afternoon. Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curly Show. We were just talking about how I love to make things. You know, I love to bake. I'm really a domestic goddess, some people might say. Some people say she's a domestic goddess. And I'm hosting Thanksgiving this year, Taylor.
Yeah. Great. Is everybody, I don't know. How much are you picking up at the supermarket?
I'm getting the entire thing made and delivered. Actually, not delivered. I have to go pick it up, but I'm not making a single thing.
Why?
Because I can't be bothered. I cannot be bothered. No, but to be fair, it's just me, my husband, and my brother this year. So it's three people.
Okay.
And so you know how sometimes restaurants will do like the entire thing and you can just, oh, you get a little turkey, you get a little this, you get a little that. It's actually, it makes more sense for me this year just to, you know.
Do you like the large family gatherings? Of course,
yes,
you do.
Yes, but my parents are traveling this year, so it's a little all over the place. But yeah, you know I'm such a family girl.
Right.
But I'm going to host it, and I'm going to do my best, and I am going to make a pie.
But for the three of you, you couldn't? Oh,
no.
You're just going to make a pie?
No, I couldn't. I couldn't do it.
Just like a couple of Cornish game hens instead of a big turkey?
But no matter what I did, you wouldn't have been happy, because last year I made the potatoes, and it
no,
was
you
like,
didn't.
You didn't make the potatoes!
You didn't make the potatoes.
I did! I scooped them. I bought them at the store. I scooped them out of the containers. I put them all in a big container. I put the container in the microwave, and then I stirred it all together. I did make the potatoes. Okay, give me a little bit of Jason Crow here with Martha McCallum. I know we're not going to play all of it, but just give me a little bit of taste. Cut four.
Just you're not recently. Talking about actual policy. You're not talking about things that our members of our service members who we revere and respect are actually being asked to do. So when you see this video on
exactly.
all over the place, when you see this video on social media, I think a lot of people scratch their heads and they say, what exactly are they talking about? Are they talking about
Martha.
Not allowing gunboats to make it to the United States carrying drugs?
No.
Is that what you're talking about?
Martha, here's a novel idea. How about we actually prevent things from happening before they become a problem?
I think that's what
right?
they're trying to do.
What you're saying is we have to wait until there's a problem to respond to that problem.
No, I'm not.
Right? As a military officer, what I think is important is we train people. We give them information. Prepare people for challenges coming down the pike. That is what I did as a commander in the military. That's what I'm doing now, as we are standing by our troops. We are reminding them of their obligation.
What specific order from the commander-in-chief that we are asking
wait.
Our military to carry out are you objecting to? This is very, very vague. And it was so vague in this video. Nobody, I don't think people could figure out what you guys were all talking about, honestly.
Martha, Donald Trump has made a series of very disturbing comments
Name
and
one!
Suggestions.
Name one! Just give us one! I don't need a series! I don't need a million! I don't need... Just give me one example!
There's no way that guy was commanding anybody in the military.
You know, they really show you how condescending and sexist they are when they have to go up against Martha McCallum. Then everyone starts the mansplaining. Martha!
Martha!
We'll be right back.